Before,
There we
before
go.
You start recording, I thought of doing some prayer.
Okay, we can do prayer while recording, no problem.
Serenity prayer.
Who?
Serenity prayer.
You know, oh, serenity prayer? Okay, okay. How you like, whatever you want to do, it's all good.
Yeah, I don't know. I have been repeating this today a lot. So, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can change, wisdom to see one from other.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember the complete prayer.
That's good.
Yeah. Last week I forgot to join. I slept. You know, it's like sometimes I sleep before.
No worries. The true you isn't sleeping. The appearance of sleeping is just on your spontaneous presence. So the true you doesn't sleep. If the true you slept, you'd never wake up on the other side. Seriously, think about it. Who would be there to wake up? You just drift off and boom, you'd go to sleep tonight and that's it. You're done. Because there's not a continuum. But your spontaneous presence is underneath, and you have waking, dream, deep sleep. All of these are on your spontaneous presence. If it really just was you, you'd fall asleep tonight, and there would be no one to say, oh, I'm waking up. There's nothing, there'd be no power behind to say, waking up. The body can't wake up by itself. It's a dead body. So the presence is the I am awake. And then that sensation begins the waking world dream after you're done with your sleeping world dream. And the sleeping world dream, there's a knowingness. In the waking world dream, there's a knowingness. And in the deep sleep, there's no knowing of any kind. But it's still there, or there'd be no waking in the morning. This body can't wake itself up. If you lay down to sleep and presence leaves during the night, we call you dead. Like we go to Rami's funeral or John's funeral and say, oh, he didn't wake up, it's very sad, this and that. But presence, if presence is still, permeating this body, then there's waking on the other side. If this body form can still sustain the essence, then there's waking on the other side. And if it cannot, then there's no waking because it's a dead body. Presence is no longer moving and providing power to this body. So right away, you know, you don't sleep and you don't wake up. And there's no waking and there's no dreaming and there's no deep sleep for you. There couldn't be, or each one of these would be an experience where you get lost in. Just like they talk about it, if the presence was just in one body, like I say, it's my presence, and this body falls, that's the end of presence. That's it. But because it's a manifestation that we call world right now, we call it the living a life, then it continues because there is just that. And whether one specific body is here or not matters not, because you are still dreaming the dreaming of all dreams, just not identified with a dreamer dreaming.
Yes, that dreamer is there. That's the problem, I think.
And that's why in Das Boot, they say the dissolution of the universe, you'll still be there. Because you witness the dissolution of the universe. And when I say witness, I don't mean with eyes. The universe appeared on your spontaneous presence. The universe, when the dissolution, which who knows how long that is going to be, you know, because like Star Trek, 5,000 years in the future or whatever. But I'm just saying, they talk about it in Das Boot. The dissolution of the universe, and yet you are, because you are And then this universe has appeared. And then this knowingness has appeared. And then this knowingness gets involved in a body and says, I am this. Oh, look at me. And that's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, like, if it was, okay, what's left? Which is kind of funny. And he says, well, all the people in this room, they all get up and leave. What's left? The room is still here, whether you're here or not. Whether all these body forms or these objects are here or not, the room is still the space, happily available for the next form that comes in. Prior to beingness and after leaving the body. Same state. The unchanging state, actually. There was no like body, world, all of that. You're unchanging because you're formless. And you can, again, this is the magic is like, okay, if I'm formless and I know myself in a real sense, this just I, this subtle sense of presence. How can I be involved in form? How can this form affect me? Space. How is space affected? We talked about, even if the entire earth blows to pieces, no life at all anywhere, earth is gone, the space is completely unaffected. The space provided the ability for the earth to appear. Oh, there's earth within space. Without space, you couldn't perceive an earth because how? Like, it's not possible. Space is provided. And then objects appear within the space, and then the knowingness knows these objects within the space as something other until you know yourself in a real sense. And then everything, the space, all the objects within it, or as Maharaj says, the entire world appears on your spontaneous presence. And you're done.
The problem is, in your previous analogy, whether if earth disappear also the space is there, right? But even the idea of disappearance of the earth makes a problem when there is a relevance for the earth, the existence of the earth. Likewise, you know, when the relevance is given to the body mind in the form of the relevance in the form of an identity, that's when, you know, when the affect, when something affects this body mind, then the problem, it appears as a problem, because you know there is relevance is given to the body mind, and now what you are saying is drop of that relevance, and whatever happens to it, it's nothing.
Correct. Well, again, if you're formless, then mind becomes world. You say, like, what happens in my mind? Well, if I'm formless, my mind is the world. All the people that I see are within my mind. All the houses and the cars and the activities, my job, all of these things are within this mind, if we want to label it mind, because I'm formless. So this flow of thoughts that I used to think was occurring in here because I was limiting by saying, I am a body, I'm thinking thoughts. Now, when I'm formless, where does the mind go? Well, the mind is now the world and everything in it. It's no longer contained within a limited body form because you know yourself in a real sense.
In the mathematics, you know, like in the differential equations, I think I studied this thing called a local minima and local maxima. So now the problem is there is local minima, you know, and actually another concept is global maxima and global minima. So this local minima is the identity. So now the presence or whatever is cognizing this living phenomenon, you know, this whatever is moving this body, that is, you know, believing that it is that body, I think. You know?
Or the consciousness, just like in a dream. You're just a little dream character. You've identified and limited yourself with a local identification rather than just saying, I'm one of the objects within this dream that I happen to be dreaming. And the objects aren't solid because, of course, they arose from myself, formlessly. And I know this because in dream, I lay down to sleep. I'm conceptualizing that I'm a body laying down to sleep. Boom, a dream world is projected and there are little people and all that. And it appears to be form-based. In your dream, you can climb a tree. So you're not like a ghost that would fall through the form. You're form. You've created form from the formlessness. Well, now that you know yourself in a real sense, you understand that what you used to call world is just objects that you have created from your own formlessness. And then you have a specific object that you identified with as a time that's available now as an instrument to peer inside the happenings of the formless dream. Just as when you lay down at sleep, you don't dream yourself formless. You dream yourself as an object within the dream, because that's kind of impressed. In order to be able to see inside a dream, I need an object to see with inside the dream and to, quote, experience what's going on inside the dream. And yet, the dreamer itself, you, the body, form, laying down, is not experiencing. You might, in your dream, be swimming, be running away from a tiger, having to climb trees, be jumping, be totally out of breath, again, in the water, then running more through a jungle, all torn up. Then the lion actually attacks you, and you wake up. And yet, nothing. The little form that you had identified with for a certain time was going through a lot of stuff, some very scary. But you projected this formlessly, and all the activity within that formlessness did not affect you at all. You don't wake up like in the horror movies where you wake up and you're all scratched from the lion and you're sweating or you're all wet and stuff. And the same, when this body is no longer available, this limited local identification, you won't wake up and say, oh, that was scary. Oh, John's dream or whatever. No, it's just, boop, that's it. TV, you watch TV, you turn the TV off. Where does the TV go? Nothing. Power is no longer being provided to the instrument that we call television. Therefore, no images are appearing. But the presence that you are is continuing to create and destroy objects, billions of objects, continuously. We want to say eternally, but we can't really say eternally because to the presence, there's no time. You're so outside of time because you're, again, just think about the space. With the space, even if the space knew itself, could it possibly conceptualize time? And say, I am experiencing time. Let's say the space became self-aware. The objects within the space were moving. It could, within the object of illusion, say, when this object moves from here to here, it takes such and such a time, so to speak. However, how am I experiencing time other than the objects that are within this space? So the space becomes self-aware and sees the objects, and then creates a concept of time because objects moving at specific points are said, this is time. I'm moving from here to there. And even if there's identification with one of the objects, You could say, okay, I walked across the floor, but the space is self-aware. So the awareness of the space is just awareness of objects within the space without losing the knowing faculty of, I am not these objects, I am the space. Now reverse all of that. I know myself in a real sense. It is absolutely the same.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what you are saying makes, what I'm going to say is not correct, like saying making sense, like I'm understanding partially. But like recently, as I said, previous talks, trying to see what's happening in my own psyche, you know, it is just bundle of thoughts. And sometimes they are part of one structure, you know, like I was identified with some external object or some external person, and around that person there were a set of thoughts. One is some kind of security, some kind of pleasure, some kind of
but who's going to experience all of that? Only when I limit myself and say I'm a local identification that has the ability to experience these things. When I know myself in a real sense, I won't seek after pleasure and I won't run from pain, because these are occurring within my own self. Whatever the body is going through doesn't affect me.
Yeah, it's just the scene. Momentarily, I'm identified myself as this body. And from that identification, the need for seeking the pleasure outside is coming. When that identity was not there as the body in that moment, then the need for that person and the need for the pleasure is gone. That's what, you know, I've been able to see.
You don't need anything. Everything comes within your own self. All needs, all desires came along with the body. So you remain with your selfless self, and it is literally, for lack of a better word, a black hole. Because you don't have to think, I don't need this, I don't need that. It just literally, you're just remaining with yourself, and all these concepts fold into you. You're just, and yet you can still see, okay, there's a nice woman or there's a nice person here. I start talking to them. Okay, that's fine. It's just occurring within the spontaneous presence. Because I'm not trying to do anything. There's not a me that tries for an outcome. There's not a me that is trying to create a story. Again, like we talked about, one take. You're here, spontaneous action in the moment, cut scene. Okay, action, do this thing, cut the scene. Okay, that's it. And you don't need to sit there in the editing room and put all the scenes together and say, wow, that was really good. Or what does this mean? Well, I wonder what the meaning is of this. There's no meaning. It's absolutely meaningless, because when you remain with your selfless self, all concepts dissolve. And since you're prior to words, you don't try to put words on this experience of remaining with yourself, because words came along with the body, and you absolutely know, I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Then we could say, oh, it's so silent and peaceful. Okay, this is nice, but silence and peace will also collapse into yourself, because you will have no concepts, no attributes, nothing. And from this position, you now go and do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. Maybe you have a wife, maybe you don't. Maybe you have a girlfriend, maybe you don't. But there's no grasping. Oh, I have to have this thing. I must have this. Oh, this object will make me very happy. And then I get it and I'm like, well, it's not as happy as I thought it would. But look at that object. There's an object that'll make me happy.
Those are, you know, very psychological and created by the, you know, just mind, you know, this like this need for pleasure. It's very silly, you know, John. Like, you know, I try to write down and see like where this need for pleasure or the security fear is coming from. They are just a bundle of thoughts, and they are just taken as self, and that, you know, I never very rarely see through that, you know, is it me?
Well, if there's a you, then desires and attachments and all these things can stick to you. And again, like we talked about many times, the hat. If I take my hat and I try to hang it on a wall and there is no hook, my hat drops to the floor because there's nothing there. Now, if I have a hook, I, me, mine, then my hat stays. The desire has something to hook onto. And then I, being the formlessness that I am, that can spontaneously create an entire world, I will begin to create the conceptual world of this desire is wanted, this desire is needed, thoughts will be flowing, there will be identification with these thoughts, it'll strengthen the false concept of an I or a me or a mine, and I will grasp. Now, none of it's true. But again, what's impressed reflects. Maharaj says you're very, very, very sensitive because whatever impresses reflects. I say, oh, this desire is important. Flow of thoughts. I identify with these thoughts. There's an I there. That I, that sense of I, that false I, starts to take credit and starts to desire to have concepts build. And here you are, this beautiful bright fire, and you're literally dumping piles of ash on it. The fire will still burn, but now you don't see the fire. You can't feel the fire. Eventually, you forget the fire is even there.
Like, what is shocking in your talks is, even when Maharaj was telling, saying that you are the one, you know, giving reality to everything, and you are that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, you know, I can, like, just when I stop chasing the things and just be in the moment, occasionally I can see that they are just the words, the images. That's it, you know. And now you are asking, one thing is, see that you are that bottomless pit, and whatever comes, it just, you know, they come into you and they are gone. Like, you know, they, like, something enters into that bottomless pit, like that thought comes in that present moment into you, and you are that one on which this is coming. But for me, that shift is not happening, you know. That shift, that
you're still creating the concept of a thinker. The thinker needs to dissolve into your own self, because the thinker concept is not true. And without a thinker, how can you think thoughts or think about desires or think about fear or think about anything? So this concept of a thinker will dissolve within your own selfless self. By remaining with your selfless self, there is no I am thinking thoughts, because this concept of a thinker is not there. There's no concept.
Yeah, I mean, what you are saying is, you know, makes sense. You're saying that selfless self is you, and you see that, and firmly, you know, establish your feet in that thing, like, you know, you are that selfless self. Unless I think, you know, I see that, you know, I'm that selfless self, or all that, I think the rest, you know, these concepts, you know, maybe temporarily I understand that, okay, this is illusion, and maybe temporarily I free from it. But
someday, the understanding is just your own self. You touch yourself, literally the just I. In meditation, you start to feel this subtle presence. And you use this mind to point towards that presence. And you kind of investigate this presence. That's what Maharaj calls meditating on the meditator, concentrate on the concentrator, presence with presence. And then you open your eyes, and because you were meditating at first, your eyes are closed, you're concentrating on breathing, mantras running. Then you open your eyes, you begin to so-called not meditate and go through your day. And yet you can still, oh, this subtle presence. Something happens out here. And I remain with presence rather than going out there. And yet I can observe that these actions are still happening and this life is still flowing, but I'm no longer living life or doing actions. I was blessed with after having taken the mantra, it began right away of seeing myself just wandering around India. Like, I'm not from India. I have no idea where I'm going. And I'm just wandering. And I'm not thinking how far away from the ashram I'm going. Or even Maharaj says, you know, it's a city, John. Like, you don't go and just wander around New York City. And I told him, I said, there were some places that I went to where there were like people in the hills and there were pigs and stuff running around. And then I went to another area and I was just walking. But there wasn't the sense of walking. There wasn't the sense of being in India. There wasn't the sense of anything because I was remaining with mantra. When the food poisoning happened and there was a lot of vomiting and all this sort of stuff, I wasn't experiencing this because I was remaining with mantra. And I saw that this body can go through experiences without creating an experience or an experiencer.
If you don't mind that I'm interpreting this thing, when you said you, after having this mantra, you lost that, you know, sense of time and space because
I was concentrating on mantra, not allowing mind to do anything more. Maharaj says, my mind is finished, except to do mantra.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nothing but
I'm not supposed to do any thinking. Master has said, you're free, remain with mantra, and just go where it leads you. And I did. Master said the same thing to you and to everybody else. There's no more thinking for you. You know, you have mantra now. So now you remain with mantra and you observe your body just kind of moving around. It's beautiful because even in the beginning, you can remain with mantra and make a sandwich, remain with mantra and sit down and look out the window, remain with mantra and drive. Everything. And it's just spontaneous action in the moment because mantra, Maharaj has given the perfect example. Mother needs to make a dinner. Children are not going to allow mother to make a dinner. So she gives them toys. And now the children are preoccupied with the toys so that mother can make a dinner and not be bothered. Well, master has given you mantra so that the children, the mind, the thoughts, and all that have something to do while you, the selfless self, are seeing the spontaneous actions in the moment without taking any ownership, because there's no one there to take ownership. There can't be a doer, because there isn't a you. How do you point to a doer when you're remaining with mantra? Because mantra slowly, silently, and permanently erases all the concepts. All that ash that was covering the fire is gone. Now it's just the fire burning bright. The Kakadarati is burning bright underneath. And that's what you focus on. You could say the bhajans three times a day with the fire, the arati. Okay, this is you wake with the fire and you don't allow ash to come on. Then you refresh midday. Oh, the fire again, no ash. Okay, now we refresh in the evening time. Fire again, no ash. So I get in the habit of remaining with my selfless self throughout the day. Fire is going. Always. You're burning bright. There is no ash because there's nothing. You're lighting the world without the concept, I'm lighting the world. Just fire, no ash. just presence, no layers of illusion. This is the reality anyway, but now you're starting to see this, and you can see it in your own experience. See, all these talks, the books point you to there is a selfless self. Maharaj says there is a selfless self. Now it is 100% up to Rami to find this truth within your own self. You must dissolve. Each one of us has an ice cube. My ice cube was John. I put it in the water because Master said, put this ice cube in the water, allow it to dissolve. It was worth nothing anyway. Rami has an ice cube of Rami. Put in the water, dissolve. Don't think about, oh, is it dissolving fast? Is it dissolving slow? What happens when it dissolves? That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj, he uses a very good example of the poison. If I give you poison, I don't have to sit there and think, oh, what's going to happen to you? No, you're going to die of the poison. We don't have to sit there and wonder what's going to happen. The master has given you the poison, and now you take it. It's finished. And there's no more, what if this, what if that? Whenever a body-based question arises, oh, this is an opportunity to remain with my selfless self. If you really want to say, selfless self is testing me in this moment. Am I going to entertain this silly question that means absolutely nothing because Master says I'm formless, or am I going to remain with my selfless self? I have complete faith and trust in the Master. Therefore, I remain with my selfless self. Oh, but this question, this is the thing that's blocking me. Yes, which is a silliness because I'm formless. So this question could not relate to me. It's relating to the body that I am not. So I'll just remain with my selfless self. Because all questions are just, oh, I'm something. I'm forming a question because I believe myself to have a form. The space in the room has no questions. What happens when the building falls down? Oh no, what happens to me? No, the space is not asking this. That's why Maharaj says, the sky, India sky, does not have a beef with America sky or China sky, and doesn't know, oh, I'm China sky, I'm India sky, I'm America sky. Sky is sky. Space is space. Water is water. Earth is earth. It's only the conceptual lines that are drawn within the body-based illusion with false body knowledge that I say, I live in America, you live in England, you live in France, you live in Spain. No. That's why it's beautiful when the astronauts, they go into the sky. There's no like little lines drawn on each, every country and every place. It's just like land, sea, that's it. Like there's no, we draw the imaginary lines through conceptualizing, and it's all body knowledge. And it's just not true because you're not a body. Is all body knowledge useless? Yes, now it is. It wasn't when you believed yourself to be a body, it was pointing to the fact that you're formless. So you used body knowledge to understand, oh, I'm actually formless. Then you met a master who said, you're formless, but you must discover this for yourself. When a master says you must discover it for yourself, I don't turn back to the books, nor do I really turn back to the master and his teaching. Because his teaching is just going over and over again, you're formless, find this out for yourself. You're formless, find this out for yourself. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. You must discover this for your own self. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Find this out for yourself. And that's why, again, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Sri Ramakant Maharaj say, I'm not making you I'm not making you a disciple, I'm making you master. Because you're finding, you now know the truth, very beautiful. Now you must discover this truth for yourself. And it's earnestness. Like Sri Ramakant Maharaj has said, some people will come to India, take the mantra, thank you very much. Now I'm on to another ashram on my little spiritual vacation. And, you know, I like to wear the robes of India and maybe put some beads and all this kind of stuff. But thank you. Thank you. It was very good. I can now say that I went to the Nashik ashram with Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And then there are some who come with the idea that this master is the God of my understanding. And oh my God, whatever the master says, and what does master say? Okay, you're sensing this presence, and you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Remain with your selfless self. Remain with the I am. Remain with a sense of presence, and that will be the ice cube in the water, and there will be no more ice.